Friday the 18th of June, Vov Tammuz, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Wittler, Be'era Shel Miriam.
Good night, Shabbos. As introduced, let's start off with the Be'era Shel Miriam. This week is Loch the Shiras HaBe'er, the Shir of Be'era Shel Miriam, Alei Be'er Onula, B'mechoike B'mishaloysom. It says in the Shir about the Be'er, B'mechoikeik B'mishaloysom, that they would take a stick, Mashen is a stick, B'mechoikeik, and they would make a channel. They would carve out a channel with a stick, because you didn't want to have to schlep down to the Be'er. If you could be quite far away, you could be, your tent might be very far from the Be'er. And the Be'er was right there in the Mishkan. So every Nossi of every Shevet took his stick and he made a channel towards his Shevet. Be'er Chafarua Sorim, the Sorim and the Seim of each Shevet made a channel that the water should be channeled from the Be'er to come right to the door of their Shevet. This was a wonderful Be'er that accompanied Klal Yisrael right through the 40 years in the Midbar. Wherever they went, the Be'er travelled with them. Now, the question is obvious. If every Nossi is going to take a stick and make a channel to shave it, so the water will come out from the Be'er, arrive at the Shevet, and then it will be stagnant water. Let's say it stays somewhere for a year. The water is going to be stagnant. Nobody likes to drink water that's been stagnant, that's been standing there inside that channel in the desert for the last few months. So what you need to know is a medrash. The medrash says, like you have here in London, you have an M25, an orbital road, it goes all the way around. So this first bit that I read out to you was actually a Rashi. Rashi says this on the Mechayim. It's a Rashi. It's not some obscure idea. This bit is in Rashi. But the Medrash adds in that there was an orbital road. And that when the water reached the Shevet, then there was a ring road, and the river went all the way around the Machna, and it flowed the whole time. The water flowed out from the Be'er, flowed up towards the Uven, then up to the M25, and it flowed round and round. There were never any blockages, never any hold-ups. It went round and round. It was flowing fresh water the whole time. More interesting, though, is the Medrash adds, there's a posting in Tehillim, Holchu Batsiyos Nahar. Posting in Tehillim, Holchu Batsiyos Nahar. Says the Medrash that you could travel round the Machna by boat. Let's say somebody in the Reuven had a good kasha on something he'd heard that morning, in the Torah way, and he wanted to discuss it with someone in Shevet Yisachar. He didn't have to creak across the Machna from Reuven to Yisachar. He got into his boat and he travelled across to Shevet Yisachar in style. It was like Venice. So he could travel all over by boat. Now you might say, fine, although it's not so geschmack to travel around the desert. You know, it's one thing you travel around a boat in Venice, and never been there, imagine it's glorious. But you travel around the desert in a boat. Odd. It wasn't a desert. Wherever Klal Yisrael went, and wherever the Be'er went with them, an oasis, a whole oasis developed. When you go to the desert, you get to En Gedi. And suddenly it's a whole oasis there. There's trees, there's vegetation. This is exactly what it was like. Wherever they moved, En Gedi moved with them. So wherever Klal Yisrael went, suddenly the Be'er, the Nor, surrounded the camp. Beautiful grass, beautiful trees. It was mamish like a Gan Eden. So there was a desert outside the Machna. Within the Machna, there was an oasis. It was full of vegetation, it was beautiful, you felt like you were living in a Gan Eden. This is what the Medrash explains. Chaim Kaufman Zechasad Levrach used to love to say over a very interesting vort on the basis of this Medrash. It says, Vayiyu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar, vayimtsu ish m'koshish eitzim. The Yidn were in the Midbar, And they found this chap gathering sticks, Melechus Mekoshes, on Shabbos. So, where else were they? They've been in the Midbar for 40 years. Shalom Aleichem. Vayiv b'nei Yisrael Midbar. You have to tell us they're in the desert. He should just say, Vayim su ish, Mekoshes hates him. They've been in the desert the whole time. It needs no introduction. Says Ayachayim, this is what you used to love to say over, says Ayachayim, that somebody will have a question. Somebody will have a question. But how can you find a Mekoshes? How can you find a Mekoshes? How can you find a Mekoshes in the desert? There's no sticks to gather in the desert. Says Ayil b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. When the Yidden were in the Midbar, then the Midbar became a travelling oasis. There were sticks, there were trees. Vayir b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. When the Yidden were in the Midbar, then you could find a Mekoshes Eitzim. Because they weren't in the desert as we picture it, there were no oasis. Now the question that's going to obviously arise from this is, that if wherever the Yidden travelled, there was vegetation. And there's no if on this, this is a fact. In fact, it's a fact you repeat three times every Shalosh Adas. People say, Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem Roi, Loi Echsa. B'na'oiz Desha, Yabiseini. You know, holidays nowadays are advertised as Na'oiz Desha. Beautiful, pleasant places. Na'oiz Desha, Desha Deshoim. There's grass, there's vegetation. Where is the Na'oiz Desha, Yabiseini that David HaMelech is referring to? Say Chazal, again a Medrash. B'na'oiz Desha, Yabiseini is going on the Yidden in the Midbar. That when the Yidden camped, wherever the camp was in the Ois Desha, it was like a summer camp. Al mei menucha is yinaleini. We were being guided through the desert, but we were being guided al mei menucha is. Wherever we were, it was al mei menucha is. It was this paradise by the river. In fact, even this ring road I told you about before, this orbital that went all the way around the camp, is mentioned in Mizmor Dovid. Because it says, yancheini, he will guide me, the Ma'agleit Sedek. What's this Ma'agal? The Ma'agal is a ring road. The Ma'agleit Sedek refers to this river that went all the way around the camp and surrounded the whole camp. This was called the Ma'agleit Sedek. The ring road that surrounded the Sadiqim, who were Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael Amir Kulim Sadiqim. That's the Ma'agleit Sedek. So David HaMelech was describing what in fact had happened to Klal Yisrael for 40 years in the Midbar. In the Ois Teshi Abiseini, Al Mei Menuchis in Aleini, Yan Cheini B'Magli Tzedek L'man Shema. He's describing what we've just spoken about. In fact, the Targum says, David HaMelech himself was in Midbar Chaosim, he was in a desert, and he himself was safer to an experience which was similar to the experience of the Yidden in the Midbar. But the Yidden in the Midbar, this was colossal. This was happening to the whole of Klal Yisrael, the whole Machna, the miles and miles of Machna had become this amazing Ness. And this is what they sang the Shira about. Now, I was about to tell you that seeing this is a fact. So how are we supposed to understand the Apostle that says, in this week's Seder, the Yidden say, oh, you've taken us out to a terrible place, Loyim Mekoyim Zera. It's not a place where you can plant anything. Terrible place you've taken us to. Loim Mekoyim Zera. So in fact, this kasha is a kasha of the Rishash in Maseches Chulin. This kasha. Because there in Maseches Chulin, in Kisei Adam, it talks about the fact that the sand in the desert is not called earth. It's not called earth, it's called sand. It's got a different halacha. Sand hasn't got the same halacha as earth because it's not roi lazri, you can't plant anything. That's how it comes into the sugya there. Earth is where you can plant something, Mother Earth. Sand is not the same as earth. You can't plant anything in sand. It's not got the same din. It's different. Even chemically it's different. That's what Tais is discussing when Peit Kisei Hadam. And Tais there brings a kasha. He asks the kasha. There's a sugya in Avodah Zarah that I'm giving on the base. The sugya in Avodah Zarah says, suppose you want to get rid of an Avodah Zarah, what do you do with it? So Rabbi Yossi says, you can grind it up and sprinkle it to the wind. Like the expression you find by Chometz. So you take the sketchka, the zidla of the zorah, you grind it up and sprint it to the wind. And the Chachomim say, das gibsnish, you can't do that. Say the Chachomim, it's like the volcanic ash, it's going to eventually land somewhere. And it might land in somebody's garden, and then it'll fertilise the garden, and therefore in fact being there now from the Avodah Zarah. This is a mishnah in Avodah Zarah, and Gimel Beis, Rav Yosi and the Chachomim. Along comes the Gemara. I'll be being nana. You're being nana from the thing itself. He's not so posh at that. Bottling what? It is a bittle. That's if the guy himself would do it. Here it's a yid that's doing it. If the guy himself would do it, it would be a bittle of Avodah Zarah. But the yid can't be mevatel the guy's Avodah Zarah. And therefore you're going to be nana from that Avodah Zarah. So along comes Rav Yosi and says, I'll bring you a raya that you can be mefarah of the Zarah the Ruach. Because in the desert, by the eagle, it says, "Vayitchem lo yisei dok." Moshe went and ground it up, and he sprinkled it. Like if as he sprinkled it, so you see that is a way of dispensing with an avodah zarah. Along comes Taisus. It could have been why it was different. Okay, that's already one suggestion. Well, the water goes somewhere as well. It says when the mon melted into the water, eventually it also they felt it in the fruits eventually. So along comes Taisus and asks, that, where is it going to end up? It's in the Midbar. The Midbar is not a Mokim Zera. Loi Mokim Zera. The Midbar is a place which is a non-fertile place. And therefore you haven't got that problem of that which you've ground up, fertilising the ground. This Kasha Taisus asks, on the basis of that which he says, that a midbar is a different sort of terrain completely, it's different than normal earth. And Taisus answers that when the Yidden were in the midbar, it wasn't a midbar. That when the Yidden were there, the place where the Yidden were became a Mekayim Zera. Wherever the Yidden camped was a travelling oasis and became a Mekayim Zera. And therefore it's fantastic. That was the Yosi's time, it's a Mekayim Zera. And this Avodah Zarah is going to fertilise the ground, and that was Rav Yosi's guy, beautiful Taisus. Along comes the Rishash in Chulin, Pei Kisi Adam, and asks, if so, why they say Loi Mekayim Zarah? But the truth is, there's a posh to tears, because this was when the bear had gone away. This posse of Loi Mekayim Zarah is when Miriam, the Sadekas, was in Ifteres, and the bear had gone away. So then it's ice travelling oasis. Taisa didn't say it's Tamaz a chayk, when the Yidden were there, it was an oasis, it was a Mekayim Zera. It was the bear that made it into a Mekayim Zera. So that's what he said, now that Miriam's been lifter, and the bear has gone, it's not just water we haven't got. Now it's Loi Mekayim Zera. Now it's not just water we haven't got, but we're literally back into a desert. And so you've got to picture this, what it was like for the Yidden. We normally imagine, and that's obviously hard enough, we normally imagine Miriam with Snifter, suddenly there's no water, no milk this morning, no water. That's how we picture it. It's much more scary than that. Suddenly in a different world completely. Last week we were living in Gan Eden, now we're in the middle of a desert. Loi Mekayim Zera. This is the Tirus through Shashish Kasha and Peit Kisei Adam. Could be that the Yidden were tirelessly even deeper than that when they said Loi Mekayim Zera. Loi Mekayim, not a place, and not a fertile ground. It could be they were timing that there's a very interesting vort, I'll be matzim, very interesting vort, which Rav Shon Shadron, Zeches HaLeruch, used to love to say over on the Pasuk, Vayaancha. Which means he made you suffer, and he made you hunger, and he fed you the mon. Now that's a contradiction. If he fed you the mon, then there was no inoy, there was no rav. What does it mean? He made you hungry, and he fed you mon. Chamzoid speaks about it and says, again, he brings a medrash, there were a couple of days in between. They didn't yet have them on. But the kasha is, this is the kasha. How can you say are you back on the achil chesamon? So he had a beautiful drush of Shalom, that, as we know, the mon, it depended on the madrega of the person where it fell. If the person was a tzaddik, it fell right next to his tent. You have a charosha, you have a krich, who knows where to be found is mon. So he says, what happens, he used to say, if a person, one night, he was like a tzaddik, everybody knew he was a tayyid, was a tzaddik, but one night he didn't quite live up to his own ideals. He didn't behave as he should have. And the next morning, instead of his mon arriving at his door, he opens the door, Einenu, the mon's not there. And he knows he's going to have to krich across the machna to get his mon. And on the way, people are going to say, good morning. And suddenly the tzaddik is said, Eilam, he's at his kach in his machna. So, what would he do? He would tell his wife, today, I'm making up satanis today. I have satanis signed. But your ancho, where are you back on where I feel mom? The mom kept them on their toes. One of Shon's gems. So it's possible, Lo Yimakayim Zera, that the Yidden suddenly realized that this Be'er is, in a sense, it's artificial, or to put it more precisely, it's miraculous. And it depends on our madrega, Shemayim. We're really in the desert. If we're on a madrega, the right madrega, then we have this oasis. If we fall, then suddenly we're in a desert. So they said something very deep. They were scared to live on this pinnacle of righteousness, where their whole existence depended upon the madrega in Ruchnis. They were scared to be living that which is really a desert, and is only becoming a Mekayim Zera when they live up to what Eibishter expects of them. Let's go a little bit further. So Moshe Rabbeinu, after the bear is taken away, is told with the Baratim al Asela, this parsha, and Venosa Nesmeim, of speak to the rock. So what exactly are you supposed to say to a rock? No, he never said it in the end, so we don't know what he said. But what should he have said? Well, what do you say to a rock when you want it to give water? So there's an amazing Yalkut, again a Chazal, and the Yalkut says, Shona alav peirik achas, Shona alav halocha achas, that you should go with Aaron HaKoyin, sit there in front of the rock, and make a chavusa. You and Moshe and Aaron, Peir Kachas, Halocha Achas, they're learning, it's Tumlach Elen, and it's getting very exciting, everybody's watching Moshe and Aaron, they're learning, they're together, and then, that's the Dibartem El Asela, there was Divrei Torah said in the proximity of the rock, then suddenly the water will come gushing forth. This is a Yalkut, and the Tziv is Marich on this India, and many of the Gedolei Meforshim, that this was with the Baratem El Asela. They were supposed to learn next to the rock. And there's the most amazing Torah, phenomenal Torah written in the Sefer of Shemesh before the Hirshah Torah. He very rarely quotes his Rebbe. He had a Rebbe, Chacham Benez, who was managed to Sadi Yisrael Eilam and the Kubal, Ashkenaz. And even though he was very close to him, there's very little Torah around from him. And in this parsha, he quotes his Rebbe, and he says something phenomenal. He says, what was the Indian over here that the Rebbein Shem gives such a strong einish to Moshe Rabbeinu for not creating this Kiddush Hashem and Haktisheni? Moshe Rabbeinu had brought so much Kiddush Hashem into the world over so many years. This was perhaps one nekuda, one extra limud. You get the impression as if there was some major catastrophe almost in this event not taking place. That the way the Torah writes it, if you really mamik in a parsha, it gives us the impression that this Kiddush Hashem not taking place is an eternal loss. Now, no matter, the opportunity has been lost now, this is terrible. And we can't really fathom what's the great opportunity that was over here. We learn the simple pshat that had he spoken to the rock, they would have made a kal v'chaim, the rock listens, we should listen. The Chacham Benez used to say something amazing. He used to say that this was actually supposed to have been almost a chelik sheni of Kabbalah Sataiva. This is supposed to be part two of Ma'amad HaSinai. What does this mean? Ma'amad HaSinai is Tayyum and Hashemayim. Tayyum comes from Eibishta, the Klal Yisrael. There's a part two of this. What's the part two? Yidden are going into Eretz Yisrael. In the Midbar they lived Kula Alpines. In the Midbar they lived Mom, Be'er. Bread didn't grow from the ground, it fell from heaven. They probably made the bracha, possibly made the bracha. The Be'er, it was Kula Benes. Now we're going into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to live a more tiviastic life, a more natural sort of life. There was a very great lesson they needed to learn before they went into Eretz Yisrael. He says this lesson was, in fact, the part two of Ma'amad HaSinai, that Torah comes min Hashemayim, it comes down to us, and it transforms our everyday life, and elevates our everyday life, and can bring so much bracha into the mundane, that it can change our life from a regular life to a paradise. This opportunity, this event of Moshe and Aaron learning next to the rock, learning Torah next to the rock, and then Yidden seeing how when they learn Torah, suddenly the Be'er comes back. Not just the Be'er comes back, but the Midbar suddenly becomes an oasis. This was supposed to be the lesson that the Torah and Hashemayim doesn't stay just a connection with Shemayim. It comes right down to earth and transforms the Ha'oretz Nosan of Ne'odom. It transforms it and makes it a place, Moli Bracha, Moli Hatzlacha. This, they were supposed to see almost the applied Torah, the Bracha that Torah brings into the everyday life of a person. But they stood at Har Sinai and said, oh, Torah and Hashemayim. But now they would see it, the bracha that Torah brings into our everyday life. This was a preparation, said the Chacham B'nai, for Knisa L'Oretz. They're going L'Oretz, they're going into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to live a mundane life. And they have to see how Torah transforms the mundane and brings so much bracha, so much kedusha into the everyday life of Eid. And this was the Loyaman to be Lahaktisheni. This was the lost opportunity. That the fact that this didn't take place is a terrible loss for Klal Yisrael. Because people no longer have that limud in front of their eyes of what Torah can do for the day-to-day living of a person. And I was thinking about this Torah, which I've here shrouded from his Rebbe, and I was thinking about what it would have meant. Let's dwell a little bit on what should have been. Because even though it didn't take place, it's like we find by Kabbonis. Even though we have no Kabbonis nowadays, if a person learns about the Kabbonis, he can still derive tremendous chizuk. In fact, the Gemara writes in Torah Sa'ila, Kala Oisib B'Torah Chatos, Kila Hikiv Chatos, the Gemara writes in Sefer Torah Sa'ila, shouts like this. Because a carbon, besides bringing the carbon, there was what you could learn from the carbon. What it taught you about how you should devote yourself to the Eibishter and give yourself over to the Ribono Shel Olam. She says, "Kala Oisik B'Torah Chatos." If you learn the significance of the Kolben, Kila Hikyu Chatos, you can get a lot of what the Chatos would have given you. So, coming back to this Torah of the Chacham B'nai's, let's think about what this would have meant to us. Let's think about what would have happened and see what sort of chizuk we would have learned from it. Let's say we'd see Moshe and Aaron next to the rock. And we'd seen them learning that Peyek Achas, and that Halacha Achas. And then we'd seen that the Be'er come back, and we'd seen the whole Mekayim Zera come back. What would it have meant to us? And I want to bring out one extra Nakuta, besides the obvious. What does it mean, Shonalov Peyek Achas, and Halacha Achas? I mean, Shonalov Divrei Torah. It's absolutely gavul. It must be only Peyek Achas, only Halacha Achas. That's the loss of the Chazal, one pagan, one halacha. Divrei Torah. If you tell your child, go and learn. Peyek Echot, halacha achas. What's this doggish on Peyek Echot, achas? What's this doggish? So there's a beautiful Torah on this actually from the Haflah. The Chacham Sofer brings down from his Rebbe the Haflah. He used to often say this over, that the Haflah said a drush on this, that Now God said, they would be made Evelyn Shal Miriam. Miriam the Tzaddik has just been Nifta. Moshe and Aaron were the brothers. That's why they weren't learning, because they were Toich Shiva. Since they weren't learning, that's why the bear didn't come back straight away. Peirik Achas is Eilim Begalchim. Halacha Achas, the Halacha Zachman Islam that they could learn. So they're being told, even now, you're never separated from Torah, even in the May Shiva of Miriam, this Peirik Achas, Halacha Achas. This was the Torah of the floor which from Sayyid Gedarki built and built on this. Divri Torah Kapatish Yifait Tzitzela. I'm thinking of another Gedank one could say over here. That sometimes a person might think to themselves, even if they'd seen this limud of Moshe of Aaron sitting and learning next to the rock, they might think, well, Moshe and Aaron, G'dayli Yisrael, those that had the whole Torah, when they learn, their Torah transforms a desert into oasis. Aber mi ani umani, with my one daf, with my one halacha mishnevura, with my one seif in Shulchan Aruch, am I going to transform a desert into oasis with one halacha, with one perek? So the Eibusha said to the Moshe and Aaron, don't go and give them the impression that it's only the Vilna Gaon or the Chofetz Chaim that can change a desert into oasis. Shalom perek echad v'halacha achas. Tell them you're going there to learn just one perek of Mishnayos. One halacha, and show them that every single ice of Torah, every single point in Torah, can take a desert and transform it into oasis. Don't let them come away with the impression it's only a Moshe of Aaron that can change a desert into oasis. It's only you that had to learn to pay missionaries that morning. He learned halacha that morning. Pay a gechot, halacha achas. They say, Gedaliah Shor, if before the last days of his life, he was learning a Sfas Emes in Parashas Chukas. But the Sfas Emes speaks about this Indian mamish. He's talking on the first Parash of Chukas HaTorah, how Torah gives chiyus, Torah gives life. And the Sfas Emes suddenly says that don't start thinking this is Torah, that this depends on Kol HaTorah Kula. He says every single ois of Torah, every letter of Torah contains in it tremendous chios. And he finishes off that every ois in Torah, every letter in Torah has the power to bring about to chios amazim. Every single letter in Torah, one letter. And Rabbi Gedaliah Shon, the last few days of his life, wrote next to that Sfas Emes, and he didn't normally write Haggois. And he wrote next to that Sfas Emes, V'zeh Haflev Ofer. He'd seen this. Every single ois of Torah has the courtesy of Mechayim Esim. And this could be pshat in this amazing chazal. And this is very appropriate for start your day the Torah way this morning. That sometimes a person thinks that the idea of such a Kiddush Hashem is at the beginning of the day you learn a bit. It's not true. The idea of such a Kiddush Hashem is it transforms the whole day. The Anhara, people who are Zaycha, B'tchilas Hayayim, Peik Achas, Peik Echa, Locha Achas. This is the ice that the whole day is a different day. It's Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Rots Be'erev Shabbos Potter. You'll have a wonderful Shabbos, and Nachas and Gutzazachen.